Good morning. It's awesome to be with you today. I'm really glad to be here. It's a great privilege. And I want to also give a shout out to my wife, Ellen. She came all the way up here and with me and long trip and everything. But Ellen's awesome. She supported me all these years in the military and even before that. And this summer we'll have 37 years together. So I can't let that go. I actually gotta let you know about her. And I really appreciate the congregation here, too, with the support toward helping us, the Churches of Christ, get chaplains into the federal ministry, whether that's military or VA, Bureau of Prisons, Homeland Security, or wherever that might be. And we really, really appreciate the encouragement and hope and help that you give us. And I get to do this ministry teleworking, so we live in Alabama, but every now and then we try to get up here to see you all because we're so much a part of this ministry, and thank you. So, as I was becoming a Christian, the Holy Spirit was working on me hard. He was dealing with me and my conscience and asking me things like, "What are you doing?" And my place before God and where I stood with him, and it just got so intense. And finally, after a whole year of the Holy Spirit dealing with me, I decided I would take that step and become a Christian. I was baptized. And I remember vividly that night after I was baptized, and I went back home, and I was looking up at the stars and God's creation, and I was just thinking, I hope I can be good enough. I didn't know any better. I was brand new at this, right? I didn't know any better. But there's no way I could be good enough. And I'm still not good enough. The only hope I have, and the only hope you have, is the cross of Christ, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not by what we do. It's not by what we say. It's about him. Because if it wasn't about him, then we wouldn't need him, right? But it's his sacrifice. And that leads me to the passage that we have this morning from Philippians chapter 2. Now, as we look at that, if you'll go to the next slide, I want to contrast because it's interesting, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 10 is parallel to Philippians chapter 2, 12 through 13. Because Ephesians says, it is by grace that you are saved, not by works, that you are God's workmanship. In Philippians, there's also that statement about salvation and that God works in you. So the two are parallel, but it almost sounds like they contradict each other, don't they? Because in the Philippians, it says to work out your own salvation. Well, I thought we were saved by grace, not by works. What in the world does that mean? Can be kind of confusing on the surface, but we'll get to it. Because I think the context of this letter to Philippians helps us out. If you go to the next slide, some translations use the phrase, work out your own salvation. There's two problems with the way that a lot of people interpret that. One, it lends itself to legalism. If we are working out our salvation, then what do we need the cross for? What is grace about if we are working our salvation, working to become saved? And then the other problem is in some translations where it says, work out your own salvation, People get very individualistic about their salvation. We live in a society that is individualistic. I want what I want. I can pull myself up by my bootstraps. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to get what I want. And it's all about me, me, me. We are individualistic. But nowhere in the scripture that I can see is salvation an individual matter. You hear people say, invite Jesus into your heart to be your personal Savior. He's not my personal Savior. He's the church's Savior. And no one can be saved in Christ Jesus on their own. You have to be saved within the context of the body, of the community of Christ. And as Americans, I think we miss that part. You look at the way Apostle Paul did his work with evangelizing and doing mission work. The centurion in Acts 10 and 11. What happened? Just about his whole household became Christians with him. It wasn't an individualistic thing. They were all in this thing together. And if Cornelius was going to make that decision, it must make sense. Let me hear what he's got to say and what he's doing here. I want on board with that. It was a community thing. When Paul went through Philippi, and he went by the river, and he saw some women praying, including Lydia. Lydia became a Christian. And not her, not just her. Her whole household. And probably some of those other ladies that were down there praying with her. It became a community thing. They did not think individually. And so the church itself, that word church means community. We are a family, a community together. So, next slide, let's go and look at this a little bit closer. This phrase, and I don't mean to give like a big Bible class lesson here, but I think this is so critical and an interesting passage. That phrase, work out your own, in the Greek is actually plural. If somebody was to say, hey, you get to work. If there's other people standing around you, would you be thinking, well, is he talking to me or is he talking to all of us? In English, you can't tell. You can be singular or plural. So here, in the Greek language, though, it's plural. Let me help you out. Southern English helps a lot. If I was to translate this in Southern, I'd say, all y'all work out your salvation together. All y'all work this out together. We're God's work. And that phrase about fear and trembling, if you really realize that God is working with you and God is working with me as a family and what he's doing to shape us and to change us and to transform us into something new, if that doesn't give you chills, I don't know. Because God is doing an awesome work within us, and we should respect that so highly, so far above anything else. Look at what God is doing. So we'll go to the next slide here. There's a challenge. Let me introduce you to two ladies. Iodia and Syntyche. Those are Greek names. To make it easy, I'm just going to call them Judy and Cindy. And Judy and Cindy, they're mentioned later in chapter 4, where Paul says, chapter 3. I got to get my glasses on. Chapter 4, verse 2. I plead with Judy and I plead with Cindy to agree with each other in the Lord. Now, that doesn't seem like a huge statement, maybe, but that theme is running through Philippians, where he's saying, I want you to be like-minded. I want you to get along with each other. You got to work together. And Judy and Cindy were not. Maybe these two ladies were there from the get-go. They were down there on the river when Lydia was baptized, and they got on board, and they were on fire for the Lord, because Paul says that they were my helpers. They were awesome in the work that we have. Something happened, and they didn't get along. And then it affected the rest of the church because they didn't know what to do with it. They didn't know how to approach these ladies. How are we going to get these two together? They were like sisters. They loved each other, and now they won't even talk to one another. So Paul says, all y'all, you work out your salvation here. You work out this saving work that God is doing through you. It's not about having your way or turning your back on somebody and ignoring them or anything else. It's about being brothers and sisters again. That's the saving work that God is doing through you, but you have to let him do it. Work out this salvation work that he has together. Paul gives another example. In this paragraph, it almost seems like there's unrelated things. He says to work out your salvation, and then he says, get along together, and then he says, now, look at me, I'm in prison. I'm pouring myself out, or I'm being poured out like a drink offering. But it all comes together. Because the Apostle Paul was arrested for preaching the gospel. He appealed his case to Rome, and he was going to go before the Roman Emperor Nero. And tradition says that Paul was beheaded for his faith. Now talk about loyalty. Talk about commitment. That was the Apostle Paul. So why does he mention that here? He says it because we're in this thing together. Judy, Cindy, all of you. This is something that's worth dying for. So you got to get together. You got to let God work through you for that saving grace that he's already given you. Now imagine the last slide here. A church. A church that is so sacrificial together, so loving together, that if there's going to be disagreements and fights, but you're able to work through those things and you keep moving on and you're all about the mission of the kingdom of God. And you're all about getting together and solving things together and serving people together and loving other people together. That's what shining like stars is about. All you all shine as stars in the universe. May God bless you in hearing his word.